This is the voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian batik export increased by 76.2%. Indonesia targets zero accidents in tourist destinations. I am Ahmad Faisal, and this is the news in details. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita on Wednesday officially launched the Gelar Batik Nusantara and National Batik Day 2025 activities in Jakarta. In his remarks, Agus Gumiwang conveyed the export performance of the national batik industry, which showed positive performance in the first quarter of 2025. According to him, this achievement deserves appreciation considering the challenges of the current global economic conditions.
Pasar global tentu sedang lesu dengan berbagai pertimbangan dan alasan. Daya beli dari global market juga sedang tidak baik-baik saja.
The global market is certainly sluggish with various considerations and reasons. Purchasing power from the global market is also not doing well. But we can see that based on the Central Bureau of Statistics data, exports of batik products in the first quarter of 2025 reached $7.63 million. And what is important is that exports increased by 76.2% compared to the same period last year in 2024. So there is a 76% increase.
Tahun lalu pada tahun 2024, jadi ada kenaikan 76%.
On the occasion, Agus Gumiwang also encouraged an increase in batik export by utilizing global and national potential, especially among the younger generation. He also expressed his appreciation for the progress of the national batik industry, which has utilized a more advanced industrial technology while maintaining the consistency of the artistic value of batik. According to him, this effort, in addition to being able to meet global market demand quickly, also maintains the precision and quality of batik products. Indonesian Minister of Tourism Widianti Putri Wardana expressed her condolences to the family of Juliana Marins, a tourist from Brazil who was caught in an accident while hiking Mount Rinjani last Saturday. In a press conference held after inspecting preparations at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah for the upcoming school holiday period in Jakarta on Tuesday, she stressed that the safety and security of tourists are top priorities in the development of national tourism.
We sincerely hope this will be the last incident. We are targeting zero accidents at all tourist destinations in Indonesia. Even a single incident can greatly affect the image of our tourism in the eyes of the world.
The minister further urged all tourism ecosystem stakeholders to treat safety and security as a shared commitment. She also stated, based on the latest report from the National Search and Rescue Agency, the victim was located approximately 400 meters below the initial fall point and is presumed to be decreased. She added that the government is continuing to communicate with the victim's family and the Brazilian embassy to provide accurate and transparent information. Indonesian Minister of Tourism Widianti Putriodana announced that the government has provided discount on transportation tickets and toll road fees as part of a domestic consumption-based stimulus package to boost the movement of domestic tourists during this year's school holiday season. She made the statement during a press conference after inspecting the preparations for the school holidays in Jakarta on Tuesday. As part of support for the stimulus program, she explained that the Ministry of Tourism is also promoting the hashtag Di Indonesia Aja Holiday Indonesia Only campaign.
With this campaign, we hope to see an increase in the number of domestic tourist trips and encourage people to travel within Indonesia. We expect higher travel activity during this year's school holidays, and we hope that the hotel industry and MSMEs will benefit positively from this momentum.
Meanwhile, in the same event, Deputy for Destination and Infrastructure Development at the Ministry of Tourism, Haryanto, expressed optimism that the target of 1.08 billion domestic tourist movements can be achieved this year noting that around 282 million movements were recorded in the first quarter alone. Indonesian Minister of Migrant Worker Protection Abdul Kadir Karding launched the Golden Migrant Villages Program in Wonosobo Regency on Wednesday, designating three villages, Jelampang, Kuripan, and Margosari, as model communities for safe labor migration. In his address, Minister Karding emphasized the critical importance of procedural migration, revealing alarming data with 97% of abuse cases involved in the nation non-procedural or illegal migrant workers.
Datanya menunjukkan bahwa kekerasan ini terjadi 97%, data menunjukkan.
The data shows that 97% of violence occurred to non-procedural and illegal workers. I need to continue to use momentum like this to raise awareness so that all migrant workers or prospective migrant workers who want to leave the country must do so in a procedurally correct manner. Because if not, there will be many problems.
Itu akan mengalami banyak masalah.
Furthermore, Abdul Kadir also highlighted the important role of villages in recruiting prospective Indonesian migrant workers. According to him, villages are an important base in recruiting prospective migrant workers and play an important role in collaboration on safe, procedural, and sustainable migration governance. You are still with the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Yahya Khalis Takuf, chairman of the executive board of the biggest Islamic organization in Indonesia, Nahdlatul Ulama, reported to the President Prabowo Subianto the progress of various memorandums of understanding between the board and several ministries and government agencies. One of the collaborations discussed is related to the government's latest free nutritious meals program. He disclosed this after meeting the President at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta recently.
We reported that MOUs with various ministries and government bodies. As for the free nutritious meals program, we have already started it in several locations and now it is progressing rapidly in its development. Hopefully it will run more smoothly.
Moreover, Yahya Stakuf also reported the progress of other social programs, including the Nahdlatul Ulama Prosperous Family Movement, which is being carried out in collaboration with various ministries. These programs aim to improve the overall welfare of the people. He claimed that President Prabowo welcomed all the initiatives presented and expressed his full support for strengthening the collaboration between Nahdlatul Ulama and the government. Head of the Indonesian National Nutrition Agency, Dadan Hindayana, emphasized that the Nutrition Service Unit will continue operating during school holidays to support the free nutritious meals program. He made this statement after delivering on Tuesday.
Tapi kalau di daerah tersebut tidak ada satupun anak.
But if there are no students in the area and teachers are not willing to come to school, then the nutritious meal program for students will temporarily stop during the school break. However, don't forget that every nutrition service unit still serves pregnant women, breastfeeding mothers, and toddlers, and this service does not take a holiday.
Moreover, he stressed that the Nutrition Service Unit will continue to play a key role in the national nutrition intervention, including during school holidays. The program's acceleration phase is scheduled for late July through August, after personal training and nationwide deployment are completed, with a focus on underdeveloped remote and outermost regions. Listener, now let's come to our commentary by Anna Trijayakasi.
Indonesia is one of the countries that is widely visited as a tourist destination by the international community. Tourists visit Indonesia not only to enjoy the beautiful nature of the country, but also for cultural, culinary, shopping, sport, and adventure tourism. In addition to foreign tourists, domestic tourists also receive the government's attention as one of the drivers of the community's economy. Even so, the large number of visitors to tourist attraction must also be regulated because it concerns the comfort and safety of tourists. Regarding tourist safety, Indonesian Tourism Minister Widianti Putriwardana said the government is targeting zero accidents in the future. This follows an accident involving a Brazilian tourist on Mount Rinjani, Lombok. For this reason, Minister Widianti asked all related agencies to strengthen the standard operating procedure SOP for tourism, especially in increasing awareness of high-risk activities. To strengthen the standard operating procedure SOP, coordination between related agencies and travel agencies must also be in line. Without fast and clear coordination, the government's intention to drive tourism as a source of potential and also move the economy will be in vain. The arrangement of tourist locations needs to be implemented properly and orderly. In addition, regular audits are always carried out to ensure that tourists are comfortable and safe when visiting. The implementation of SOPs in the world of tourism is an absolute must, especially those related to nature tourism. Nature tourism has a tendency to have greater potential for vulnerability than urban tourism. Therefore, the involvement of professionals in making nature tourism SOPs is the main thing. Professionals are those who understand the situation and conditions of tourist attractions, such as nature lovers and residents around the location. There can be a one solution so that the zero accidents target is met. In addition, warnings or signs around nature tourism areas must also be more available and clear so that tourists or visitors can be safer and more comfortable. The application of sanctions to violators must be strict in order to provide a deterrent effect and be an example to visitors to obey and understand the situation and conditions of the tourist area. That was commentary.
Listener, the commentary concludes our bulletin of news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Words. Hi VOI listener, today's Let's Speak Indonesian talks about magic words. The term magic words often refers to polite phrases like please, thank you, and so on. These words are considered magic because they are relatively easy to say and can have a big impact on social interactions. So here we go, Indonesian magic word. Tolong. Please. Terima kasih. Thank you. Sama-sama. You're welcome. Permisi. Excuse me. Maaf. Sorry. Bolehkah saya? May I? For example, tolong tutup pintunya. Close the door, please. Permisi, boleh saya duduk di sini? Excuse me, may I sit here? Magic words are necessary to be taught to children from an early age so they are able to communicate effectively and understand how to respect others. So, have you practiced these magic words every day? Let's start small to achieve big. Well, listener, that's Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Stay tuned for learning more Indonesian words for daily use only on Let's Speak Indonesian. Sampai jumpa! Hi, VY listener. Today's edition of Music Corner presents a regional pop song from Bengkulu province entitled Pais Fish. The song tells about Pais Fish or Pendap Bengkulu, namely Bengkulu specialty fish sauce. The lyrics also tell of pais wrapped with taro leaves. Pais fish is deliciously eaten with warm white rice cooked and chili sauce. It is tasteful, so it makes people want to eat by eating it. Well, listener, here is the song Ikan Pais by Jarvis. Enjoy!
Ikan pais kelaponyo mudo dibungkus daun talas rapi-rapi di kebet tali mesyang. Ikan pais lemak rasonyo makan ke nasi putih pane-pane ulam ke jering mudo. Rasonyo oi lemak nian makan sebungkus samo-samo nasi sepiring udah habis rasona tambu. Rasonyo oi lemak nian badan keringen iti-iti sambal yo pede tambu lagi habis segalo. Ikan pais kelaponyo mudo dibungkus daun talas rapi-rapi di kebet tali mesyang. Ikan pais lemak rasonyo makan ke nasi putih pane-pane ulam ke jering mudo. Rasonyo oi lemak nian makan sebungkus samo-samo nasi sepiring udah habis rasona tambu. Rasonyo oi lemak nian badan keringen iti-iti sambal yo pede tambu lagi habis segalo.
nasi sepiring udah habis. Rasona tambu, rasonyo oh lemah nian, badan keringe niti niti, sambalnyo pede tambu lagi habis segalo.
Kasolami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasolami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasolami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. Discompaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasuami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasuami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasuamis. Kasuami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasuami is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kasuami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kasuami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, you are still with me, Ahmad Faisal, on Indonesia Today. Well, finally, after accompanying you for more than 5 hours, and now it is we are heading for 6 hours p.m. local time, Jakarta. It seems that I am finally Ahmad Faisal, and also the crew on duty would like to say thank you very much for all of your kind attention to listen to and watch our program. Hopefully, what we have already shared you, given to you, can be beneficial for you and can improve about your insight about Indonesia listener, and also feel enjoyable after following our programs. So stay tuned, because we have also our other songs and also social culture, and this is also our filler that would like to accompany you up to 6 o'clock p.m. local time Jakarta. So finally, I would like to say thank you very much. I would like to end our togetherness with you, and stay tuned up to 6 o'clock p.m. local time Jakarta. Have a nice day and See you next time, listener.
Seberapa besar kau yakin padaku untuk tetap bisa bertahan denganku menjaga cinta ini. Pertengkaran yang terjadi seperti semua salahku. Mengapa selalu aku yang mengalah? Tak pernahkah kau berpikir sedikit tentang hatiku? Mengapa aku yang harus selalu isi hatimu? Seberapa besar kau yakin padaku untuk tetap bisa bertahan denganku menjaga cinta ini?
Ministry of Environment and Forestry, the average Indonesian produces around 0.7 kilograms of waste per day. Almost 10 million people live in Jakarta. That's a whole lot of waste. Bantar Gebang is 40 kilometers west of Jakarta. It's Indonesia's largest landfill. They process around 8,000 tons of rubbish every day. Around 18,000 families call it home. According to locals, some scavengers take 15 to 20 paracetamol at a time. Grueling days are spent picking through decaying food scraps and glistening coloured plastics. most make less than $10 per day. On the 30th of January 2019, Reza Bonard spoke to a room full of professionals, diplomats and journalists on the 42nd floor of Jakarta's World Trade Center. The event was held by the Professional Women's Group from the British Chamber of Commerce, Indonesia. At the front of the room, standing about 5 foot tall, she spoke clearly and confidently in English, her second language. It was strong enough to be well understood, but flawed enough to hold strong Indonesian character.
Okay, my name is Reza. I grew up in Bantar Gebang. People call me Princess of the Dawn. I'm not a princess. I don't have bracelet. I don't have a crown. So I'm just Reza from Bantar Gebang. The best dawn ever. This is how we call our program, our project in Bantar Gebang.
Reza is from West Sumatra. Her family moved to Bantar Gebang when she was just a little girl. They watched it transform from rice paddies to wasteland. Reza's 18-year-old sister, Ian, told me the hardest part about being from Bantar Gebang is the way that people treat you. Reza told me why her parents decided to move to the area.
Oh, my home, like you can see, like the truck is queuing for hours just to load the rubbish. Before, 24 years ago, it was the beautiful rice field. So in front of my home and beside my home. The reason why my parents bought this land, because my parents wants me to experience to live nearby the rice field.
Reza Bonard was picked on in school. Her shoes smelt like cat poo. Despite hardship, she was able to receive a university education in Depok.
I was lucky. I got my foster parent from the UK, so I got scholarship to study in the university. Otherwise, I couldn't speak in front of you today because I don't know anything about English, how to say. Even my English is broken, but I'm very confident to speak in front of you.
Since enjoyed a fruitful career in technology and she's an activist. She's passionate about women, children and education in Indonesia. That's why she founded BGBG, an activity centre cross hostel. The name directly translates to Seeds of Bantar Gebang. She's giving back to her community.
If people like, why you claim Bantar Gebang as the best dump ever? Because we say, like, if people call these places like nasty, disgusting, stinky. Me, the one who grew up in Bantar Gebang, I said, this is the best place, the best dump. Because I can grow up here, I met my foster parent in Bantar Gebang because of my broken English. And then we have BGBG, the place to motivate the children to never scare, to dream high.
BGBG describes itself as a hostel and hub, or the kingdom of Bantar Gebang. Foreigners and Indonesians stay at the dump and volunteer. Carpenters build facilities and students teach English.
Send your waste to Bantar Gebang, your rubbish to Bantar Gebang. So come to Bantar Gebang and clean it.
Reza says all of the children from BGBG are like her brothers and sisters, but she also has one biological sister.
I told the children many times, if you have problem at school, no matter public or private, I will come to talk to the principal. Because happened to my sister Ian before, she has no birth certificate, elementary school. I went to the school, talked to principal. This girl lived with me. I'm the one who pay for her school, and then she has no birth certificate, but she needs education, and I want her in the best school. And then the principal said to me, yeah, but we need birth certificate. I said, with or without birth certificate, she needs education.
Now, Reza's sister Ian studies international relations at the Institute of Social and Political Science in Jakarta. Every weekend, she travels by train and motorbike rideshare to Bantar Gebang. She helps teach English classes during the weekend. I asked her how she feels about coming from Bantergebang.
I'm happy for like when I'm grow up and then I like we have like sisters who tell us about like it doesn't matter where we're from. If we do work hard and then we believe that we can make it, because like in BGBG they always tell it's not about money, it's about like you treat other people nicer.
If you're interested in volunteering and visiting the dump, or to contribute something to the BGBG project, you can find out more at bgbg.org. But if you do go and visit, please don't hold your nose, because to Ian and Reza, it's the best dump in the world.
Today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from Papua entitled Diru Diru Nina. The song lyrics contain the prayers of the Papuan people. The prayer asks that the community to be able to survive all the challenges that they face. In addition, the song Diru Diru Nina also contains prayers so that the people and the surrounding environment are always protected from danger. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from Papua, Diru Diru Nina, by Trio Ambisi. Happy listening!
Sawa. Aku tak sadarkah kau menggantikan